Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 278th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today we're going to talk about the home, but we're going to talk about it through a combined lens of decor, the actual physical aesthetics, as well as creating that happy or contented mood is what we're going to, more specifically contentment, creating that contentment that we want to basically find or achieve in the home that we spend our daily lives in every single day. So we're going to talk about how to do that. And it was inspired from a recent book that was released as well. This week's Petit Plaisir is a twofer. I have two for you. Both somewhat have to do with your home and helping to create that happy, welcoming environment. Very, very simple ways to do that. So stay tuned as I'll share those at the end of today's episode. But let's get into today's topic. I'm going to share 14 ways to create a happy home. Now, at the core of a happy home is a home that works for those individuals that the four walls surround and keep sheltered and safe. Once the essentials are in place, a roof over our heads, walls to keep us warm or cool, so comfortable in other words, then it's the inhabitant's responsibility to cultivate a sanctuary in which each person feels they belong, that they are loved for being their true selves, and having the space to understand who they are as they grow and evolve, no matter our age, whether it's our children, if we have children, whether it's us, as we will continually grow, if we choose to do that, we always have the opportunity to do that. Or if it's our partner or whomever else is an adult, if we have them in our house, become the person that they have the capacity to become. Whether you share your home or not, both scenarios require clarity and willingness to be honest about the needs that we have to live our best life. And if you live with others, to enable them to do the same without shortchanging yourself or compromising too much so that you cannot live your best life along with them. Now, if these steps sound familiar with regards to the shelter and safety and then belonging and love, you are right. This is with regards to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which builds on top of each other the necessities we just discussed. First, at the very, very bottom, we must have our physiological needs met. Then a feeling of safety must come before we can then finally feel truly a sense of belonging and feel and recognize real love. Now, those are the first three tiers of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, following these three, once we have a home that allows us to be free just to be, our stress levels begin to drop, our health improves and strengthens, and we find we can think more clearly and thus make better decisions, which leads to the opportunity to strive and try new things, giving a boost to our confidence along our journey, which builds the fourth tier, our self-esteem. And once we have a sound sense of self-esteem, we then open up a pathway for the fifth and final tier, which is to become self-actualized. Only if we choose to seek this, though, that is entirely a choice. And in fact, it was an episode in our first season, episode 25, where we talk about what self-actualization means and how we can achieve it. So if you're curious as to how to choose self-actualization, how to bring it into your life, check out episode 25. But all of these build upon each other. And I think remembering how our home plays a part in this, a very crucial part, is to have, if we haven't had it, a big aha and a realization that it's a necessity, not a luxury, so much when it comes to creating a sanctuary that creates this sense of contentment and happiness. Now I'll decipher between those two in a minute, but I think this brings us perfectly to what inspired today's episode. It started with a book that was recently released titled Happy Starts at Home. And actually, this book was brought to my attention from a listener and reader of this blog and the podcast, Sarah in England. And this book, I believe, was already published over in the UK. And she read about the book in a magazine article and the author, and she shared that with me. And I so appreciate you doing that, Sarah. Thank you, because it brought to my attention, first of all, the book, but the author, Rebecca West, sees how the correlation, but also I think causation as well, is tied to our contentment when we pay attention to our homes. And it's more than just the surface. She goes far beyond the surface, which I so appreciate. And when it was finally published last month in February, here in the States, I gobbled up the book. I mean, it arrived and I read it in one sitting, and I'm still reading through it repeatedly because there are a lot of things I'm examining more closely as it pertains to my living situation, because all of us will have different living situations. And she has specific chapters dedicated to those that live on their own, also ones that live with other people, and specifically children, and how to navigate through creating a home that makes everyone feel happy and how to do that, which I appreciate that she acknowledges a broad readership. Now, she is an interior designer and now an author. Rebecca West is actually from Washington, so she's a neighbor, so to speak, of Oregon, where I'm at. And I'm so excited and happy for her, because this book is a great book. It's a wonderful resource, and it takes the approach to decor that is far more than the aesthetics, but rather thoughtful decor decisions that marry function with and supporting each person, allowing them to reach their goals, which includes feeling welcomed and at peace in the present moment. Here's a quote from the book. Happy starts at home. The truth is, your home can directly improve your well-being and contentment. It can help decrease your stress level and increase your happiness. Simply put, and the question is how? And that's what she shows you in this book. What I was drawn to with it was that her underlying definition is actually a definition of contentment. And that concept is something you know very well. We talk about often here on the podcast and on the blog. Contentment is something that has the capability of being steady day in and day out, regardless of the events of our days, whether they be good, bad, or just blah or hmm. In fact, when you are content, you rarely do have those middle of the ground days or blah days at all, because when you do have bad days, you can confidently move through them. And the good days are elevated even higher. How awesome is that? But the point being, contentment is a skill. It's something we have to learn how to cultivate. We have to know what it is. And we have to not confuse it with happiness, because happiness is not constant. And it's something that's exciting when it happens and we can celebrate it, but it involves outside or extenuating circumstances. We can play a role in those circumstances and we can embrace that and elevate that happiness. But we can't be happy all the time, because then we wouldn't know what happiness was. Anyway, contentment, though, is the goal, because that's a good fundamental base. And that's what this book is really trying to show readers how to cultivate in their homes. Although the title is Happy Starts at Home. But again, the contentment is the springboard for more happy to happen, which is absolutely possible to happen more often than it already is. So while we must build contentment within ourselves with regards to just our inner person, our homes play a critical part in supporting this contented state of going about our lives. And in even better news, our home decor need not break our budget. Just as it takes time to get to know ourselves, depending upon where you are in your life journey, when we begin to cultivate our sanctuary, it will take time to understand how we live well and what is needed to enable our best life to be enjoyed every day. So some of us may be at a point in our lives where we know ourselves pretty well, and we have a lot of decor that we love and it works well for us, and we know exactly what we are missing and we need to go figure out how to bring that in or customize our home. But others may be just starting off. Maybe they have an entire new chapter of their life has started, whether it's because they're a new college graduate, or maybe they're coming out of divorce, or maybe their spouse has passed away, whatever it is, their life is shifting, or they're an empty nester. There are so many different ways our lives shift where they really need to be re-examined as to whether our home is supporting the life we want to live and will help us live our best life. And that's what I like about this book. She really does a nice job of walking us through different scenarios and sharing some personal anecdotes of her own, but also of her clients. So today, what I'd like to share with you is the takeaways from her book, Rebecca West's book, that caught my attention as I am in the middle of customizing my own home, as many of you know, and making sure it works for me. So let's get into this. I'm going to share 14 ways to create a happy home. Number one is understand who your home is and who it can be for you. Now, as I mentioned in a post last month, I have named my home, and I highly recommend you do so as well. And I think of how Paul and Julia Child named their home in Provence, La Pichon, which is translated into the little one, also known as La Peach, Little Peach. That always caught my attention and my eye. I was like, they named their home? Oh, interesting. And as I got to know her a lot more from reading so many different books about her and understanding the value of naming our homes, it really gives the place character. And it reminds us, the owner, the liver in the house, the inhabitants, what our home means to us. And it signifies appreciation and perhaps a vow of sorts to care for it as we are aware and express more awareness of how the house cares for us and we don't take it for granted. It may not be a perfect house. None of our houses are perfect. But it may, for example, allow you to sleep well at night. It may keep you warm at night. It is your quiet space from the world. Whatever it is at the most basic level, your house is doing something for you. And most likely, it can do even more. And that's where this number one comes in. If your house is not reflecting its true potential or fullest potential, it's not living up to its name that you want it to embody, then that is the realization we need to make, which can potentially be the motivation to give the home the care it needs, to be the who you know it can be and need it to be for you as well. So that's number one, understand who your home is. Number three, be clear about how your home needs to support your lifestyle. Begin with the more abstract concepts instead of the concrete, meaning function. So let's focus on the more conceptual ideas of how it can support you, how it can strengthen you, how it can bring you joy, and examine how your home can enable you to feel those feelings very specifically. Once you figure out how it is or isn't fulfilling those needs, then you can start to get very specific about the concrete details, the functionality, and maybe some construction needs to be done, but maybe just some shifts in arrangements of furniture or colors, more light, less light, whatever it might be. That's number two. So being very clear about how your home needs to support your lifestyle. Number three, understand the priorities of your home. In other words, what lifestyle do you not only sincerely have to live, but also want to live? How can your home facilitate your needs and support you on your journey towards your goals? Do you need your own office space in your home? And right now you are writing at the kitchen table and there's a lot of distractions. Do you need more light, less light, lighter fabrics in hue and or weight? Do you need furniture that is comfortable and asks you to relax and unwind? Is your kitchen organized and functional so you can easily step into it and make what you need so you can live healthily but also deliciously? These are the kind of questions to start asking yourself as to what are the priorities of my home? How does my home need to serve the life that I love living, but also need to live and ultimately want to live? So let's first, though, back up a bit, because before we ask those questions, we need to know who we are and where we want to go in our lives and what our personal priorities are and those of the household. And once we know those answers to those essential questions, who am I? What do I want? What do I need? The questions regarding our home are far easier because we can immediately say, well, that doesn't align with what I'm pursuing anymore or at all. And you can easily narrow down what you need to do. So that's number three, understand the priorities of your home. Number four, make a habit of editing what comes into your home. As I have shared in previous posts and episodes, having a mood board is helpful to clarify and direct your purchases and decor aesthetic decisions when you're customizing or redecorating your home. And I shared a picture of this in a post that I shared last February. You can check that out with regards to the customization of the Simply Luxurious Life home. It's in the archives. A mood board will also help when it comes to knowing what you need and what would work best in your home and being able to say no to otherwise beautiful items that maybe you've found and they found a way into your home or want to come into your home or you think they want to come in your home, but you realize, no, it wouldn't work with this house or the way I'm living now, but I can appreciate it, but I don't need to pay for it and bring it in. So once you have decorated your home to support your contented life, become ardent about your shopping excursions, even your travel excursions and gifts that are received, and get into a regular habit of letting go, consigning, selling for resale at used bookstores or furniture shops, having a yard sale even, anything that doesn't serve you. You have to have a say in what surrounds you. And when you feel as though you're the director of your home and decor, you can feel more confident in your life decisions as well, because your home doesn't become overwhelmed and cluttered and it remains true to its purpose. It's not just wonderful on that first day when everything's redecorated and finished. It stays that way, or it evolves in a way that's best aligned with you. So become that person who has a say, a very strong say in what comes in to your home. That's number 4, make a habit of editing what comes into your home. Number 5, examine the fear you have when it comes to letting go of stuff. So we're just speaking about a number 4, letting go of some things. And sometimes it's hard for people to do. I haven't typically been someone that's had a hard time letting things go. But you know, as I get older, sometimes I see memories and different things and I think, oh, should I let that go? Oh my gosh. So you have to have some conversations with yourself. So West examines the emotional attachment we have with material items as well, as it often is a fear, she states, that we will not be able to fill the hole it may leave when we let it go. However, she argues that in fact, it is when we let go that we open up space for something more in alignment with who we are now and are becoming. Here's a quote from the book. When you take a leap and start letting things go from your home, you'll open the door to trust and opportunity. So if that, hopefully that brings a little bit of comfort or reassurance to, you know, you can celebrate something, but if it no longer serves you, respectfully let it go. There were a few items that I had to let go when I moved here to Bend from the house that I owned in Pendleton. They were beautiful items. I had a beautiful oak table that was really hard to let go because of how we found it and how my dad put it together. And I had to say it wouldn't serve the life that I want to live in Bend, nor I don't think would it have survived the travel. It was very old, and let another family love it. And another family did find it, and they were so excited to have it. And I found my new table that's new to me, but old, and I'm really happy with it. So it opened up the door for something that fits my lifestyle now. And someone else needs that to fill their journey. So think about it maybe in those terms. Number 6, keep what brings you joy. Okay. So on the flip side of number 5, make sure you're not keeping what brings you joy in a box tucked away in the garage. So while we want to keep things that bring us joy, if your joy is in a box, in the garage, in the closet, in the attic, wherever it is, how's that bringing you joy? In other words, if you're not honoring it, if you're not letting it bring you joy in your daily life, does it really bring you joy? Or are you just afraid to let it go? A self-examination, an honest self-examination, will help you answer that question. Number 7, extend gratitude to your home. Whether you rent or own, your house is your dream house or not. Extend gratitude to it for the good that it provides. At the very least, it provides shelter and safety. And one of the joys and things that I am extremely grateful for in my home today is that my key to my front door turns without a snag. As well, with an attached garage now, my dogs are safer as we can move from the car to the house without having to worry about them seeing something or chasing something or saying hello to someone without me realizing that, you know, they're running out to the sidewalk or the road. These simple changes are things I am so grateful for each day because I didn't have them the last 4 years. Every time I lock my door or unlock my door and come across the threshold, I'm trying to be very aware and grateful that I now have these simple little upgrades. It may sound silly to say thank you to your home. I mean, it's an inanimate object, obviously, but it's an expression of gratitude that actually de-stresses you And it's a good habit of looking for all that is going well in our lives, no matter what the day might have brought us. So we can practice these simple actions and they will actually help our well-being. And that increases our contentment on a daily basis and ultimately our happiness. So that's number 7. Now I have 7 more ways to bring more happiness into your home, and I'll share those after I introduce you to the sponsor for today's episode. Did you know that over 19 million women in America lack reasonable access to something as fundamental as birth control, or that a third of women have used their birth control inconsistently simply to save money? That shook me awake a bit. Fortunately, we have an exciting new sponsor that's doing something totally revolutionary with birth control access in the United States. And well, it's about time someone did something. They're called Simple Health, and they're here to make your healthcare, you guessed it, simple, starting with online birth control prescriptions and free home delivery. It's safe to say that the existing healthcare system can prevent women from getting the care they need, whether it's insurance barriers, income, or physical location. So Simple Health thought of a better way. With Simple Health, you can get birth control prescribed online and delivered to your door each month for free. It's convenient, affordable, and safe. Whether you're already on birth control, looking to get back on it, or want to try it for the first time, Simple Health will take care of you. Here's how it works. Go to simplehealth.com/simple20. Where you'll fill out a comprehensive online health profile and answer some questions formulated to get the best birth control for you, your body, your preferences, your insurance situation. They take it all into account. A licensed doctor will review your information, determine if you're a good candidate for birth control, and write you a prescription for the right method. Whether you know the exact brand you want or want a recommendation, they can prescribe over 100 trusted brands of the pill, as well as the patch and ring. Then your birth control ships to your door for free. With automatic refills, you never have to worry about forgetting a refill or missing a pill again. Simple Health is awesome because they put women in control of their own health in a world where women's health policy is dictated by legislators or insurance plans. They truly believe that access to a doctor, insurance, or cost should never prevent women from getting birth control, and they're helping cut down those barriers. Don't just take it from me, though. Simple Health has already been rated 5 stars by hundreds of women, and you can check out the reviews on their site. Best of all, Simple Health is free with most insurance plans, so you can pay absolutely nothing to use this service every month. For those without insurance, it's still super affordable. Pills start at just $15 a month, and monthly shipping is free for everyone. The annual prescription is usually $20, but for Simple Sophisticate listeners, you can try Simple Health for free. Just go to simplehealth.com/simple20 or enter the code simple20 at checkout. I want to mention that this isn't a replacement for routine checkups with your doctor. You still need those for your overall health, but it is the most convenient and comfortable way to get your birth control. And since 60% of all women of reproductive age are currently using a contraceptive method, this could be an opportunity to save a lot of people a lot of money to get the birth control they want and need. Again, don't miss your chance to try Simple Health for free. Go to simplehealth.com/simple20 or just enter the code simple20 at checkout. Not only will this save women money who want contraception, it will also save you a lot of time. And if you are not someone who needs contraception, tell someone in your life about Simple Health and help improve women's access to healthcare. Everyone wins. Welcome back to the final 7 ways to create a happier home. Number 8 is to understand that a well-decorated home that works for you will help you change your life. Rebecca West cautions that if you have the determination to change your life, so maybe we've started this new year, we have some new resolutions that we're going to change a few habits that improve the quality of our life. But if we're not changing our home, she argues, to support these goals, we may be leaving an obstacle in plain sight that we could be addressing and should be addressing. Why? From the simple reorganization and editing of your kitchen, per se, or your pantry to support your new eating habit, your home can sabotage or support the new habits you are trying to welcome into your daily routine. More generally speaking, if you get rid of the reminders of the bad habits you do not want, your home will most certainly better support you as it is with you each and every day. So number 8 is to understand how the connection between our homes support or hurt the habits we do or do not want in our lives. So number 9, moving on, address the simple daily stressors. From a door handle that is loose, to a dishwasher that does not run properly or is not large enough for your needs, from small to large stressors that you experience or run into every single day as you go about your daily life in your house, tend to them immediately or as swiftly as your budget allows, as you will be amazed how your stress levels will drop when you are not tripping over these items or getting frustrated when something doesn't work as it should. Because when we get rid of those little daily stressors, we realize how much they can actually add up when we allow them to remain in our lives. And remember, part of creating a contented house and thus a happier house is to reduce the stress, is to create an environment that reduces the stress. As an example in my own life, I had a dishwasher, and this is a little bit of a larger daily stressor, but you know, I use the dishwasher every day, and my dishwasher was not one that would fit everything that I needed into it. And I'm just one person doing dishwashing, and it was just frustrating me. And I tried to work with it because it ran fine, I thought, and so I kept working with it. I would often have to run it twice just after one day's worth of cooking. And yes, I would then just clean up or hand wash them in the sink. But again, that would take time to do, but I would do that. But the opportunity presented itself when my dishwasher broke down at the end of this past year. And I said, you know, instead of paying for maintenance, I am going to take advantage of the New Year sales on appliances. And so in January, I went and got a dishwasher that fit the needs that I needed and fit within my budget. And I have to say, it significantly reduced my daily stress and the time it saved with regards to having to wash it twice and the energy it saved with regards to the water usage. Just those daily things are just, it's amazing what they can do to improve the quality of our everyday living. And obviously it's going to be something that's going to be unique to our situation and our budget. But what we can address and just don't, those are the things we need to address. So that was number 9, address the simple daily stressors. Number 10, edit your bedroom to include nothing that isn't related to sleep or intimacy. So keep only reading materials that help you relax and fall asleep. So no work items, no have-to items. Add elements such as softer lighting, candles, and a vase for your weekly flowers. Focus on what calms you down and eliminate anything that ratchets you up. You want to wake up to a room that's peaceful and tranquil, because that's how you're going to start your day. And that's also, as we know, where you're going to end the day. So be really thoughtful about how you curate your room, your bedroom. Number 11, create a home you are proud to call your home. When you wake up in the morning, you should feel a sense of calm, as you are expected to be nobody but exactly who you are. When you leave your home, it should give you a confident boost to enjoy the day to the best of the event's abilities. And upon feeling such ease in your home, you will become more confident to invite people over and build the social life you would like to have. So that's number 11, create a home you are proud to call your home. Number 12, be thoughtful with lighting. We've talked about this before a long time ago on the blog and in my first book, but lighting is powerful. So consider where you need lighting and what type of lighting you need and where you want people to relax and feel their best, where you need to get work done, things like that. So in other words, nobody wants an overhead light shining down on them in the living room as they converse casually with someone. I mean, nobody looks great under those kind of lights, and it's just so shocking and jarring. It's just uncomfortable, especially to those that have sensitivities, but to everyone as well. They may not know what it is, but it does create a mood in the room. So just being aware of that. Keep, for example, on the flip side, keep the kitchen well lit, but use table and floor lamps instead for more relaxed settings. Welcoming in as much natural light as well is a great idea, because it will elevate your mood, especially when you're in the winter. Trying to get as much daylight into your house as possible is a very good idea. So that's number 12, be thoughtful with lighting. Number 13, find ease with your relationship status, whatever it is, and your home can help you do that. A home that reflects where you are in your life right now is a home that allows you to feel settled and thus more calm. Here's a quote from the book. Once your home reflects you, who you are now, where you are now, okay, I added those two little parts. Here we go. Here's the rest of the quote. You'll start to feel a lot more settled about being on your own, end quote. I wanted to share this quote because I think sometimes we decorate for the life we want, and some people may say that's a good idea because it gives you a focus and it gives you motivation. But I think we need to decorate for the life we have, and so does Rebecca West. Because if we're constantly looking to the future, we're not ever present. And present is what makes us find contentment and thus happiness. When we choose to honor where we are being present and enjoying all that life is giving us, even if we cannot see all of the awesomeness just yet. As someone who has lived alone most of my life, when I first began doing so in my early 20s, it took time to become comfortable with my own company. However, now you could not convince me to live any other way. Now that may change. I'm fully embracing where I am right now. And that has really made all the difference. When you embrace where you are, you learn what you truly need to live well outside of another person or society's expectations. When we let others who we are living with express what they need and we then express what we need, we get to know each other more authentically on a far more intimate level. But the key is to set aside expectations of something either beyond our control or that we think should be happening in our lives next. So that's number 13. Find ease with where you are in your life right now with regards to your relationship status and live for that present situation. Embrace that. Have that home. Have a home that celebrates where you are right now. And last but not least, let your home customization be the medicine to find your ease of living. If you have ever felt your life is not where you want it, your job, your relationships, the country, etc., start at home and change what you can to make yourself happier. Take the weekend and paint that room you've been meaning to paint. This is something you have control over, right? Vow that you will wallpaper the office so that your workspace and your home reflects who you are, and you will enjoy stepping across that threshold each day as you work from your home office. West suggests if you are having trouble changing your thoughts and perhaps feel overwhelmed with your thoughts and are not settled with life, start at home and change something aesthetically that makes your home work better for you where you are right now. There are times when my mind races, and sometimes not in the direction I want it to. And one thing I had not been doing 4 years ago when I first moved to Bend was tending to my decorating with regards to the home that I was renting. However, after I had lived in that rental for 2 years, I realized there was something missing. Why am I not paying attention more clearly to my decorating? Because what I had done is just bring everything from my previously owned home that worked in that house, and I sold the rest but kept what I had, and it worked. But it wasn't totally with the new life that I was living. So I did start to pay attention to my decor, my rental, and I updated the blinds in the office and the kitchen, even though I knew I wouldn't be able to take those with me. And part of the reason I did this is that the kitchen and my office were two places that I was frequently in, and I wanted a beautiful frame to look out and see Mother Nature, because I was constantly, and I do constantly, gaze outside. I also purchased a secondhand pedestal oak dining table, one that I had been putting off until I bought my next house. And then I also framed some photographs that I had taken on my travels to France and England, and I enlarged them to be the artwork in the living room. Those two things, the pictures and the table, obviously will come with me and are with me now in my new home. But once I began making my home reflect who I was, the quality gradually lifted as well in my life, and I reveled in being at a home, at my home, even more. In 2 short years of doing this, I did eventually find the home that I wanted to buy. But even though the blinds didn't come with me, I felt as though I gave that rental some love, and I don't regret that. So number 14 is let your home customization be the medicine for finding your ease of living. Now, I could go on and on about the takeaways that I appreciated in this book, Happy Starts at Home. It is a decor resource, but also so much more, as readers will come to understand the psychological power of our homes when we recognize it for what it can do to improve the quality of our lives. As I was writing this episode this past Saturday afternoon, the snow began to fall in droves as I was sitting in my cozy chair next to the window. And just hours before, it had been bright sunshine, blue day, no snow on the ground at all. And I started to smile and I said, thank you, because I have a home that enables me to see outside far more easily than in the past and savor the changing of the weather while I'm relaxing in my cozy chair with Norman snoring away on the ottoman at my feet. These are the moments that I wanted to cultivate more of. And so I try and I am trying to do that. And you can too. Whatever it is that makes your life sing, examine how you can bring it into your home so that it is part of your everyday life. Your contentment will rise as a result, and thus you will find even more happiness. The changes can be grand, but they need not be. They just need to be intentional and in alignment with what you need to work best for you and the life you want to live. Enjoy examining your life and how your home is supporting the life you want to live. If it isn't exactly where you'd like to be, enjoy the journey of figuring out what you need. Because although it will take time, when the right items cross your path, when the right ideas cross your path, you will all of a sudden discover what would work best. And you will be all the more grateful they made it into your life. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I sincerely love this book. It just found its way into my life in the perfect timing. It's funny how that happens, right? Celebrate those things as well. Be sure to check the show notes out for this entire list and some links to different items we talked about, the simplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast278. And I have two petit plaisirs I'm excited to share with you, and I'll be right back to share those with you. So this week's petit plaisir is a twofer. And the first one is about the laundry that we wash on a regular basis. And a way to elevate this is to, well, number one, I love laundry detergent and different items that make the room smell good. I have a really tiny laundry room, and it's actually the room that I walk into when I walk in from the garage. And I love the smell of lavender, but there are all sorts of other scents that we can have. But I also want to know that I'm being smart about my purchases. And so last month, my friend Veronique, who owns Studio Vero here in Bend, Oregon, wanted me to try out some laundry detergent that she had just purchased. And it's from LeBlanc. And it's at linenwash.net, but they're called LeBlanc and they've been around since 1985. And what I love about this is that they're sustainable. They're not tested on animals. It's made in the United States. And it's 100% biodegradable. So it's a smart, environmentally friendly purchase. And it is very specific to what you're trying to wash. So they have just their traditional laundry detergent for bath mats and terry robes and bath towels, but they also have it for lingerie. They have it for a variety of different specific items that you wash. And they also have it in a lot of different scents. So they have verbena, summer verbena. They have the original linen wash. They have lavender, which is what I have. They have blue violet. They have a linen fragrance free if you prefer that. They have one for children's clothes. So a lot of fragrance free for that. But and they also have white flower. That's a beautiful one too. So I took home the lavender towel wash. I've been using that on my sheets and my bath mats and my bathrobes and all that. And it's a subtle lavender smell that I love. And it's highly concentrated, so you don't have to use a lot of the liquid, which is nice. And then when I dry it, I use their dryer sachets, which are reusable, which I love and I appreciate. And I've been using the verbena, the summer verbena dryer sachet on my clothes and my sheets and my towels. Just smells so wonderful. It's subtle. It's not overwhelming though. And that I think is important because a lot of the times they can be so overwhelming. But the prices are fair too. You can pay just $26 for a sachet. Or you can buy a pack of two or three sachets so you have one on hand. But do check them out. The prices are reasonable. Like I said, they're highly concentrated. So I've had this medium-sized jug, which is 64 fluid ounces, and I'm not even halfway through it yet. I do laundry maybe once a week with my sheets and my towels, per se, and I'm not even halfway through this in 1 month. So you definitely will have it for quite some time, depending on how many laundry washes you do. And then I just, my sachet has been wonderful. So the brand is LeBlanc, and they have a lot of different items to check out. So if you live in the Bend area, be sure to check out all of them at Vero Studios. She carries this line, support her small business. She's fantastic and lovely. I've profiled her on the blog, and I recommend this without hesitation. Absolutely. She just wanted me to try them out, and I said I'd try them out, and I didn't promise anything, and she didn't want me to promise anything, so I appreciated that. But I am highly recommending LeBlanc laundry detergent and the dryer sachets. So check those out on the show notes. I'll link to it, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast278. And the second petit plaisir is a recipe. It's a recipe that I have really enjoyed making. In fact, well, what is the recipe? The recipe is ginger and almond bars. So good. A gluten-free recipe, in fact, but
doesn't really matter if you're wanting to eat gluten-free or not. They're just really good.
So good. They are something that I learned and made for the first time when I was in Provence 2.5 years ago at Patricia Wells' cooking school. And they are so simple to make, but they have such a lovely flavor with regards to ginger and almonds. And they are a hit. We had them there and I couldn't get enough. And then I served them at a dinner party last summer and they were a wonderful hit. People enjoyed them. You don't cut them very large. They're just nice little bite sizes because there's a lovely flavor. And then the crunch of the almonds. And then I also am going to serve them again to my reading club here pretty soon. They're just easy to make, delicious, and just an unexpected nice little sweet dessert. Not chocolate, you know, not a lot of sugar, which I appreciate. But I'll provide the recipe and a link to the recipe on the blog. So be sure to check that out. But it's one that'll just take you 30 minutes. Once you make everything up, it'll just take you 30 minutes in and out of the oven, 2 different times to bake the crust and then to bake the filling. So simple. So if you have ginger, if you have almond flour, if you have a lot of butter, unsalted, if you have crystallized or candied ginger, you're pretty much set. There's not much more to it. Oh, you need almonds, sliced almonds. But you're pretty much set. There's not a big, long ingredients list, which is wonderful. So I'll provide the recipe for ginger and almond bars. And there's a picture of the ones I've recently made on the blog, as well as the ones we made at Patricia Wells. You can check out how they look. Anyway, and you can see if you might like to make them for your family, yourself, your friends, then your next event, your next dinner party. They will be a hit. And they will be a time saver, too. Delicious time saver. That's a great combination. So visit the show notes at simplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast278. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisirs, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each episode where I'll recommend a book, a film, a show, a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Now, before we wrap up, I have to send a quick thank you to BritXO. Now, Brit has 2 R's and 3 T's for writing a review on iTunes and sharing what you love about or what you appreciate about this podcast titled True Enjoyment. I love listening to Shannon. She's authentic and genuine to her suggestions to living a simple and luxurious life. I cleaned out a lot of unnecessary things and replaced things that would make me feel good and happy. I also learned to be myself and be true to myself. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, BritXO, for taking the time to share a review and tuning into this podcast. It's a lot of fun to make, but it's even more of a joy to hear that it's resonating with people and their lives are improving because of what they hear. If you too are enjoying this podcast, either rank or review the show, and potentially your review will be shared on an upcoming episode. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and welcome to March. Bonne journée. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up my latest book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Discovering Your Best Self, now available on Audible and wherever audiobooks are sold, as well as in paperback and ebook versions. You can also pick up my first book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide, which is also available in paperback, ebook, and as an audiobook as well. To stay caught up on the most recent episodes of the podcast, blog post, the cooking show, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your weekend, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's free weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or cup of morning coffee. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonne journée.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention 2 of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.